Bryson DeChambeau goes off over the weekend. Oh, you thought he was going to miss the cut, and he ends up winning the tournament.
Outrageous take. Outrageous
It wasn't a great take in retrospect.
Power take.
Yeah, you had the stones to make it, and we'll give you credit for that. And maybe double down this week at the Players at TPC. We'll talk about it come Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll also talk about the No Balls Open that you participated in, where I tossed something out there for you to nibble at.
Do you know how lucky you are? I didn't nibble on that. You're very lucky.
Go ahead, though. Bring in the guest.
Here's Daniel Rappaport from the Golf Digest. How you doing, Daniel?
No, you guys keep going. This is great. You guys keep going.
Well, you want to throw it out there.
What was the take? I don't know what it is either. What was it?
I was floating around on Sunday. I had 500 on Spieth possibly winning. But that's all I'm going to mention about
that. Yeah, he was a fan of Spieth yesterday. Do you know what happened with Spieth, Daniel? You know what. You're in tune with the golf world. What's up with Jordan Spieth on a Sunday? Why can't he close?
You know, this is something that I actually tweeted yesterday. It's super funny. Like, literally 5 weeks ago, everyone was like, Jordan Spieth is done. Rest in peace, Jordan Spieth. He'll never be the same again. And now it's like, why can't the guy freaking win already? Like,
right.
He has absolutely no patience. He's looking really, really good. Three top fives in his last four starts. I think before that, he had three top fives in the last, like, 34 months. So Spieth is back. Let's just be a little patient.
I know. Okay. I think what people are concerned about is, and Brandel Chamblee brought it up in the pregame show, since 2018, 14 times he's been in the top 10 hitting into Sunday, and he always shoots over par. So that's what people are like, well, why can't this guy play on Sunday? I mean, he has tough Sundays. You can't argue that.
You can't argue that. It hasn't been good in the past couple of years, but I mean, go past that, and he's obviously won 11 times in three majors. And you don't win those majors without, if you're a choke. So I think he hasn't quite been there yet. I think when he's contended over the past couple of years, it's been, I don't want to say fluky, but kind of fluky. And I think it's just kind of like a law of averages. The more holes you play, the more likely it is that you're going to water find its level, basically. But I think he'll be fine. I don't think that he's too smart to like have scar tissue. I think he's able to separate like a bad round of golf from any sort of larger narrative. So I would definitely not give up on Jordan Spieth or, you know, label him as like a Sunday choker just yet.
So 500 next weekend, though. That's the move.
Yeah. No
hammer
way.
The move. Hammer Spieth at the Players.
Daniel, where are you at with DeChambeau? He gets a lot of coverage. We were talking about it earlier where it's like he's getting the Tiger treatment of walking up the fairway every single shot. Is this guy what the tour is needing right now? I don't necessarily think the drives go in the fairway or give him some kind of monster advantage, but just his overall game and how he's being treated out there and his performance.
I mean, he draws eyeballs. Like, whether you like him or you don't like him, he's interesting. And I think, you know, in an ecosystem without Tiger, at least for the foreseeable future, we need all the eyeballs that we can get in this sport. And he's definitely someone that, you know, my friends, my roommate who doesn't really like golf, like, he knows what Bryson's doing. He's like, oh, did you see that drive that Bryson hit? He's not talking about, oh, did you see that 8-iron from the middle of the fairway that Corey Connors hit to 6 feet? Like, that doesn't really appeal to someone like
Canadian.
My roommate.
Yeah, we love Corey Connors.
Great temple on that Canadian.
I shouldn't have done Corey Connors. Okay, Richie Rowenski.
Yeah.
My roommate doesn't give a rat's, you know, about Richie Rowenski, but he knows what's going on with Bryson. So it's all about the people who love golf are going to watch golf anyway. What golf needs to do is get new fans. And he's a great way to get new fans because everyone can identify or see the appeal of, look, that guy looks different than everybody else. Like, he absolutely whacks it and he like yells after he wins. No one else does that. So it's different. And I think we need to it's easy for me and other people in my position to get kind of lost in the golf bubble. And we need to zoom out and realize, how does this guy look to someone who doesn't watch the PGA Tour every single week?
Well, exactly. I mean, you look at the specific type of course, too, that he has attacked recently, where winged foot was set up in a similar fashion, tight fairways, crazy rough, but he bombs it so far down the course. Oh, you made this point earlier. He's hitting a wedge out of that rough as opposed to a 5-iron.
Yeah, from 186.
Exactly, and it's setting up for success. And that is something others can't do.
It's a huge advantage. Like, and I think the conventional wisdom kind of before Wingfoot, I think when you mentioned that you thought he was going to miss the cut this week, a lot of people thought he was going to miss the cut at Wingfoot because the thought process being, oh, it's so tight, the fairways are so long, he's not going to be able to play from the rough. Well, the problem is, when the fairways are that narrow and the rough is that long and the fairways are that firm also, like, they were so hard to hit. I think it was less than half of the fairways. The field hit less than half the fairways yesterday. So when no one's hitting the fairways, then Bryson's going to have the advantage because, like you said, he has wedging. He's able to have a much steeper attack angle for his ball to land on the green and hold the green. And so if the fairways are so wide that everyone's hitting them, then length wins. If the fairways are so narrow that no one's hitting them, length wins. So I suppose there's some, like, happy medium right in the middle where the fairways are wide enough so that the – but it's very, very difficult to set up a golf course that way, especially for four straight days. So length is always going to be an advantage.
Daniel, what's the perception of the other players with of Bryson? We've heard Rory take some shots at him about, you know, hitting it far is not that great of a skill. Like, I'm sure he doesn't care. He's winning, doing his own thing, thanking his sponsors and all is great. But around the locker room, you know, what are the other players saying about him and his attack and the way he plays the game?
Well, I think it's actually two questions, right? Him versus his attack and what he's done. I think no one can find issue with what he's done. He's not breaking any rules. You know, he's just using the rules and the guidelines. He's pushing the limits. He's going to the very high end of them with trying the 48-inch driver and teeing his ball up like crazy and using the ground. Like, none of that stuff is illegal. So if you have a problem with what he's doing on the golf course, that sounds like a you problem. You know, like there's nothing that he's doing that's he's not cutting corners in any way. And obviously he works very hard. I think, look, do the guys roll their eyes sometimes at some of the antics? Yeah. They do, you know, and that's probably not a secret. He definitely gets a lot of attention. I think he likes the attention. He goes into the driving range and bashes ball after ball after ball after ball, and it's a bit of a show. And I think, you know, some of the other guys maybe wish he wouldn't do that so much, but you have to respect what he's done, and the results speak for themselves. So the Bryson the person and Bryson the player, I think, would draw different reactions from PGA Tour pros.
Daniel, do you have any update on what happened to Justin Rose on Saturday? This guy was in contention. He was playing with Spieth, I believe. He made like a 10, and then he saw him driving in his car in the parking lot. Did he just say, like, check, please, I'm out of here? Did he hurt his back, or what the hell happened to him?
I think we've all been there, right? Like, you make a 9, and then you're putting, have, like, I think you get 20 feet for bogey on the next hole, and then he left. We've all wanted to do that. But no, I mean, he said, look, you got to take the guy for his word, I suppose, said that he woke up with back spasms and they got worse. And I have no reason to doubt that. I mean, if you've had any sort of back injury, back pain at all, it's very, very difficult to play golf. You kind of flinch at the bottom. And so maybe that's the reason he made the 9. I don't know. But yeah, the optics weren't fantastic.
No. It always makes you wonder, Daniel, what happens if he birdied the first four holes? Would his back
stays loose?
It's a miracle. Somehow he's all good. And that engine just, it's off. That car is not getting fired up. We're Daniel Rappaport of Golf Digest. Tough news for Koepka, man. He's been rolling. Like, he's back in the winner's circle, and he's been sniffing around the leaderboard, and he had to withdraw from the players with a knee injury.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like, here we go again. I hope not. You know, knock on wood. Hopefully it's just precautionary. But with what he's gone through over the last couple of years, this is pretty scary for Koepka.
Yeah, it's not good news. Like you said, you know, the knee has been kind of this nagging issue since, God, I think it was like 2019, October, when he pulled out in Korea. So it's a year and a half now that it's been an issue. I don't know what the injury was, but someone was asking about this earlier today, and I kind of go one of two ways. The first way is, if he's missing the Players' Championship, given his form, like, he finished second 2 weeks ago at the WGC and obviously won in Phoenix, he's playing very well. The best he's played in about a year, you know, maybe more. So if he's missing it, then it must be a serious injury. But then there's another voice in my head that's like, well, maybe he just wants to be ready for the Masters. You know, maybe it's still sore, and you know, we know Koepka is the kind of guy who loves playing week in, week out. He kind of circles the big events on his calendar. So maybe it's just precautionary, and he wants to be ready for the Masters. But it's certainly concerning when you see a guy who had all these injuries, overcomes them, and then it seems like it's the same knee. So definitely surprising. And it got dropped in the middle of the round yesterday. It was, like, out of nowhere.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And he was one of the feature groups, and they're going to have to make an adjustment on that. We'll see. He is Daniel Rappaport. You can find him on Twitter at Daniel_Rappaport of Golf Digest. Great catching up with you, man. Enjoy the players. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. See ya.
There is, again, Daniel Rappaport. So we'll see. Players' Championship this week. Koepka was there was a two-pack of feature groups that were loaded. Koepka was in one of them, and he's going to have to be replaced. I guess we'll find out. But it's a fun tournament this week. And, again, we're a month away, 4 weeks away from Masters Week. So we're getting into the real heater here of big, big events. It's going to be a fun ride.